Welcome in. Welcome in. Oh, man. Immediately, the audience just collectively gasps at this beautiful man who's joining me today. Jamie Miller, welcome in as my guest co-host today, subbing in for Javier Hasse, who is representing Benzinga at an industry event and political event, for that matter, in Chile, or Chile, as we like to call it. Jamie, what's up, man? Welcome in.
Hey, it is awesome to be here. Definitely happy to be stepping in for Javi. I know he's got some big things going on, so just happy to be here. Really excited to talk to you guys and shed some light on the cannabis industry.
That's what I'm talking about. Jamie, you have 30 seconds. Give us a rundown of what do you do for Benzinga? Like, tell us a little bit about you so that we can understand where your perspective is coming from today.
Yeah, definitely. So a little bit about me. I am on our events team, so I help put on like our cannabis event. We also have a crypto event coming up and a fintech event coming up. So my biggest thing is to talk to different businesses all day long and get them on board to come out to our events. So been doing two cannabis events now, so getting pretty well versed in the industry and just doing a lot more outreach and getting to know people. A lot of LinkedIn searches. So it's been pretty cool to get to know a lot of these people. Because one thing about LinkedIn is people are a lot more personable on there than email. So it's pretty cool that you reach out to someone and it's just like a real conversation.
Well, and we have some awesome people joining us from LinkedIn today, like Travis Owens. What's up? We're actually going to talk to Travis in a few weeks about social media and cannabis and the obstacles there within. But that being said, we have an awesome interview today, guys, with one of the leading private operators in the state of Massachusetts, Theory Wellness. Their CEO is going to be joining us. Could not be more excited to chat with him since I've learned about their company. And I'm going to admit, a little later than I should have learned about their company, given how well they are doing. And I cannot wait to chat with him about that. Money Mitch, what up? Natalie Smoosiak, great name. What's up? Circle K in Florida just became my favorite gas station. Hey, man, if you guys don't know what he's talking about, GTBIF, their dispensary, Rise, will be in 10 Circle K locations throughout the state of Florida. Super interesting asset light expansion model for their retail footprint in the state of Florida. This is big. And if you watched CNBC yesterday, I'm not going to take credit for their insights and Tim Seymour's insights, but Circle K has expertise in regulated markets. So Jamie, what do you go to gas stations? What do you go in their store and buy, right? You could go for a snack, but sometimes you may look and see a jewel. Sometimes you may look and see cigarettes. Sometimes you may look and see some White Claws, right? So they have a footprint in these regulated markets, and they're going to bring some really interesting partnership expertise to this Green Thumb relationship. I mean, that's pretty cool, right?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's interesting to see, especially kind of the way that the cannabis industry is evolving to where you could literally just go up to a gas station and be able to get your joints.
Oh, I love that. Gas and grass. Money Mitch, dropping the catchphrases to the gas and grass. I want like that on a hat. We can put GTBIF on the back just to give full credit everywhere. All right, let's keep it going, y'all. We're gonna talk about some stocks today. You know, Javier is our news guy. We got 5 minutes to race through some stock updates, and honestly, we got quite a few. I'm going to start with one out of Canada. TGODF, that is the Green Organic Dutchman, TGODF, is their ticker. They have had a good last 2 days in the market, leveled out a little bit, but this is due to a merger with BZAM, B-Z-A-M. I'm going to be straight with y'all. Never heard of BZAM before this merger. I truly have. They're a private operator in Canada. Apparently, they have some fantastic brands, very well-known brands throughout different provinces. That being said, they actually have more revenue on the year than the Green Organic Dutchman, who is an absolute OG in the Canadian cannabis space. I think TGOD had $30.2 million. BZAM, $32.2 million. And they combined to become the sixth largest operator in Canada. I mean, that's pretty enticing. Don't you think, Miller?
Yeah, no, that's definitely something that it's cool to see. I mean, I've never heard of BZAM either before. Definitely heard of T-God, but it's kind of interesting to see someone that is maybe a no-name, I don't really know, able to help out with this.
Yeah, so, you know, when you look at the Canadian scene, I mean, Jamie, what stocks have you heard of from Canada? You've heard of the Sundials, the Tilrays, the Auroras, the Canopies, the Village Farms, right? We've heard of those. We've heard of some other cool craft cannabis ones, like Christina Lake had some news come out yesterday. Indiva, probably the leading edibles licensor in cannabis. Delta 9, that is also, of course, a type of cannabis, but Delta 9 is also a licensed producer in Canada, fourth oldest LP in Canada. T-God also up there in terms of age, but they are combining to be a pretty respectable company. It's pretty exciting. So one last point here is that BZAM had one shareholder, one owner of this massive company, and that one shareholder is going to own 49.5% of the issued and outstanding combined entity shares upon closing of the transaction. I would
that
like
is absolutely huge.
I really want to be that person's friend. I'm putting this out there, sir, ma'am, neither. You are welcome to come on the show, and you're welcome to buy me a joint because you have more money than me. But Jamie, I'm just saying, man, that caught my attention, and you know, jealous. It's fine. What do you think of CBDD? That was another one we looked at, man. What are they doing?
So CBDD is actually doing something pretty cool. They are expanding into the largest European market, and they are doing that with a partnership between Home of CBD and their distribution partner, Mellow. So kind of how they're able to do that with Home of CBD being Berlin-based cannabis retailer, they're able to get that reach that they already have. So they're able to expand kind of in a very quick way. Cause I mean, their network is, estimated to be in 2000 locations by 2023, which I mean, we're only a couple months away.
That's exciting, man. CBDD is a really cool Northern European based company. CBD of Denver is their name. CBDD on the OTC. I really liked their addition of their new CEO, Paul Gurney, came from a financial background, has also been added to a board recently. They have a long, long way to go to get to that upside and compete on the international scene, but a very, very interesting company that has a very loyal shareholder base and a lot of shareholders, you know, to hit the opposite side of what we saw with BZAM and T-God. So I love that, man. So also looking at one of our favorite analysts, Pablo Zwanich from Cantor Fitzgerald, says about the German legalization plan. Jamie, did you hear about the leak, man, that they leaked the German cannabis legalization plan for adult use?
So I did not, but I'd kind of love to hear about it.
Yeah, so a lot's happening in this. Basically, you have THC requirements. That's a big negative on it. I think you can have up to 15% THC if you're over 21, up to 10% THC if you're between 18 and 21. You can have up to 2 home grow plants. You can, adult use can only be cultivated in Germany. That's a big one for some of these stocks that are already there. But he said there's some other items too. But basically, there were two companies he called out as being ready to capitalize on this specific legalization plan should it happen the way it's laid out. And obviously, it'll go through the legalities and political debates and negotiations. But Tilray, NASDAQ listed TLRY, and Aurora, ACB. And I know you've heard of them.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Yeah.
I believe some of them might have actually been at our event.
You are 100% correct. Both of them were in our Miami event earlier this year at the Cannabis Capital Conference. And you, too, can be at our next Miami event where I almost guarantee you they will return to bzcannabis.com. You should be there. So German legalization could definitely affect stocks very positively. Tilray, Aurora, perhaps Chiron Life Sciences, that's KHRNF on the OTC, perhaps Curaleaf, obviously one of the largest in the U.S., if not the largest in the U.S., CURLF. All these tickers, man, honestly, it takes the breath out of me. That being said, Money Mitch, Natalie, Mindo, Constitution of Axioms, what up, y'all? Yeet. Thank you. Hexo. I'm going to plead the fifth on Hexo. You know, I think the better Tilray does, the better Hexo will do. But for me, they need to come out with some better news. That being said, Tyson 2.0. Do you see this? Our friend Mike Tyson and co. What they're doing on the hemp side of life?
I think I did, but you know what? Why don't you go into it? Because I don't want to spoil anything.
They're coming with a marketplace for hemp products. Delta 8, Delta 9, CBD. You know, we're not friends to Delta 8 or hemp CBD on this side. But when we look at the future of said products, this is a great question. Jamie, remind me to ask this to our guest today about the health of hemp CBD and Delta 8 products in a market like Massachusetts. I actually love his insights on that. But it's interesting to see such a big brand get behind these types of products, simply because there is no regulation on these. It is the wild, wild west. You can find them in gas stations in North Carolina where you can't even get medical cannabis. It is banned in, I think, 3+ states right now. Delta 8 is. And to many people, it's a limited industry with a kind of a deadline on it. So it's going to be interesting to see it. It seems to me a little bit of a money grab. But that being said, no other brand is doing this in cannabis. And these guys tend to not care about what other brands do in cannabis. And it could very well work out for them because there's actually a pretty big demand for Delta 8 in states like North Carolina and Kentucky.
Yeah. No, I mean, so I'm going to be completely honest. Tried Delta 8 a whole bunch of times. I personally don't really see the value in it, but hey, they are a very smart business. They know exactly what they're doing. So I 100% respect that. You're just hearing it from me. That's just my humble opinion about that.
Yeah. I don't think you're alone in that opinion. Some people like it. The vast majority of cannabis consumers are not on that train. All right. I think we're good on time, y'all. I mean, keep an eye on the German market. That news is going to be prevalent for the next week. Cory Booker is very adamant on something happening in the lame duck session for Safe Plus. So we cover that quite a bit. We don't need to go into it again. I did not get to a Forbes article written by the CEO of Zone Properties, ZDPY. Super, super interesting insights on social equity and stocking their shelves in the social equity owned dispensaries. I mean, I couldn't have gotten through this article quick enough. I was so just kind of blown away at this loophole. Not really a loophole, actually, a flaw is a much better word for it. But with that being said, y'all, super excited to welcome the CEO, Brandon Pollack, and co-founder of Theory Wellness. Aaron, let's bring him over. Brandon, welcome in, my friend. How are you today?
Hey, good. How you guys doing?
Good. Yeah, welcome in. Brandon, let's dive in, man. Tell us about you. How did you make your way to cannabis? You've been in it for a hot second now.
Yeah, maybe a little longer than some. Not as long as some of our, you know, legacy colleagues. But I started out in 2014 consulting for Harborside out of Oakland, California. Nice. And kind of learning a little bit about how things were on the West Coast. My business partner and I, we were based out of Massachusetts, but we wanted to see what this was all about and see how the future might look on the East Coast by looking first out to California. So that's how we kind of got going. I was working for Harborside, and he was working for another dispensary in California called Elemental.
Oh, very cool. I have to ask, and then Jamie, you can pop in after this. Harborside. I mean, you obviously have experience with the California market. I mean, I don't know if we've had somebody this well-versed in East Coast versus West Coast cannabis. Yeah. You operate on the East Coast. You have experience on the West Coast. I mean, do you have any thoughts just generally about that statement?
Yeah, I mean, I'll say a caveat is I was doing this in 2014 and 15, so I'm sure a lot has changed in California. But when back in those days, it was the idea of a regulation was, you know, a joke. I mean, one of the, you know, the founder, Steve of Harborside, he had to help create a lab because there weren't any labs even in business, let alone, you know, the government telling you you had to test for contamination and potency. So there was no regulations. I mean, guys would come down every day trying to sell cannabis to the dispensary from a little bit farther north in California. And they had a guy there who was the product tester, and they decided if they were going to buy it or not. So it was totally different than what we got into in Massachusetts under the medical program, which was quite, you know, regulated with our security systems and inventory control tracking and testing and things like that.
Drop a one in the chat if you want that job. Product tester at a dispensary for random weed products in 2015. I mean, that's incredible.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. I don't think you can do that anymore, but that was sort of, you know, what made sense back then.
You know, we'll find a way to bring it back. I might have some applications going out for Saturday and Sunday gig.
Yeah.
So, I mean, let's talk about Massachusetts, right? Let's talk about where you operate, because you all are a pretty healthy company from, you know, anything that you've released out. Obviously, you're private, so we know to an extent. But Massachusetts continues to grow. In direct contradiction and counterpoint to many other similarly aged markets. You know, why is that? Why does Massachusetts, is it how they're releasing their licenses? Is it the companies within and how they're operating the structure there? It continues to grow in sales sequentially.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, first we were the first East Coast adult use market, which is huge. I mean, the population density on the East Coast is very different than a lot of the Western states. So someone from Connecticut can, on their lunch break, drive to Massachusetts if they want to buy cannabis. So I think you have, you know, the Massachusetts market has represented more almost of a New England market as it's grown. And we have over 200 stores now. So the pace of opening stores has greatly increased. The Cannabis Control Commission has gotten more efficient, I think, have increased their staff as well and processed the permitting applications. So I think it's, you know, it'll be interesting to see how New York and Connecticut affect things here, but certainly for a long time, it's been the only really legal East Coast market that's accessible to, again, New York, New Jersey, Connecticut. We do operate in Maine as well. Maine was the second East Coast rec market,
that's right,
which has been doing well, but Massachusetts really started the trend.
Definitely. And hey, did you say you had over 200 stores?
If I was the Commonwealth, I would have over 200 stores. Okay. But yeah, we're in Massachusetts, you can only own up to three licenses for recreational, so that sort of caps out what folks can do.
Yeah. And so what licenses do you hold in Massachusetts?
I think we have around a dozen. I mean, we have outdoor farm, indoor farm, product manufacturing, and then we have three different dispensaries, both medical and adult use.
That's really interesting. So you actually grow both indoor and outdoor. I mean, I know companies will do that often in different markets if they're in different markets, but can you talk more operationally about the yield differential between the two? I mean, do you focus on one in a certain season and the other year round? What's the point of having both?
Yeah. So I'd say, the indoor, that's where you're going. That's the most controlled environment. It's the most expensive to grow and the highest quality flower. And you can really experiment with interesting strategies in the indoor. The outdoor is more akin to farming. So you can do, two cycles, an autoflower cycle, then a full term cycle. But it's very cost effective and it uses no energy. We're always trying to be as energy conscious as we can in this industry and try to move the needle a little bit. So it's a great source of, you know, fresh frozen extract. You get some flower out of it and other, you know, cannabinoid production for edibles. And it's sort of a nice blend to run most efficiently is having sort of both different inputs.
Awesome. Yeah,
definitely.
Yeah.
So, hey, wanted to ask, can you talk about the health of the financials of the company? How are things going? Can we get a pulse check?
Yeah. I mean, things are, we're, I think one of the, at least we're told, fairly unusual. I mean, we've been cash flow positive since our first year. We're running about a, you know, mid 30s on the EBITDA. And are essentially reinvesting our cash flow into growth into new markets.
Awesome. What does that reinvestment look like? So you said growth, new markets. What's kind of some of these strategies you're doing with that?
Yeah, so we're opening tomorrow morning, actually. We're opening our fourth store in the state of Maine, in town of Kittery, Maine, which is right on the border of New Hampshire.
Nice.
Shopping center. Awesome, so it's going to be, I think, a good store for us there. 3 to 4 weeks, we're opening up in Brattleboro, Vermont for a recreational store. So it'll be our third market. And then we're under construction in Ohio and New Jersey for dispensaries out there as well. So generally sticking to the East Coast.
So, you know, Brandon, comparatively, you know, looking at the competition in the market around you, you know, when I think of Massachusetts, you know, I think private companies like you, Revolution Clinics, you know, I think of Canna Provisions, more public companies, you know, you think of the Tilts, you know, the Curaleafs, you know, you think of, I think Air Wellness has a pretty good footprint there. You know, I'm curious, what does your company look like in comparison to them within that market, within the state?
Sure. I think, you know, on the cultivation side, we have one of the smallest indoor gardens. So we're really focused on the craft quality on the indoor flower there, which a lot of people are surprised to know that we have a very, you know, generally small cultivation footprint on the indoor, but it's enough to feed our stores. And then we're really focusing on just the full experience at retail. We put a lot of effort into education, training, and hiring the right people that are really customer service focused. So really doing our best to ensure that either patients or customers come in, have a really, really good time. And if they don't, making sure customer service follows up with them. So we're really trying to just focus, on product differentiation. Having our own garden allows us to grow strains that no one else has. I feel the market is getting a little boring with a lot of the same genetics out there. So that's an edge that we're going to keep evolving with.
That's cool. I like that. In terms of expansion, it seems like you're pretty focused on what you have, pretty focused at diving in operationally. And honestly, the market right now is so, it's just mean toward people who want to buy other companies at the moment. And valuations on the other side are mean. But I mean, are there plans to take Theory Wellness across the country domestically or expand out further when the time is right?
I would say what I've learned so far is that it's not very wise to think that broad and that long-term with cannabis. I think we've been patient with our growth and are going to continue to look at smart opportunities, but we're not trying to grow for the sake of growth. We're not trying to be the biggest company. We want to make sure every market that we get into is profitable, you know, within the first couple months, and that we're not getting ourselves tied down with any long-term liabilities, especially on the supply chain. That's what I find really interesting is a lot of our larger colleagues have these huge grows, you know, all over the country that when the Fed flips things, like, what are you going to do with your grow in Connecticut and New York and Massachusetts? You know, it doesn't really, that you've already sold, you know, back to a leasing company or, you know, one of these real estate investment trusts for a 15-year lease. So, yeah, we're trying to just take it a little slower and be a little more methodical and just try to really focus on the East Coast right now.
Fair enough.
Yeah. What, I don't know enough about the West Coast. I've heard it's really tough out there.
That's what I've heard too. I'm in North Carolina. We tend to, you know, stick as close to the East Coast as possible.
Yeah.
No, I'm just kidding. If you're in California, viewers, don't hate me. I have one more question and then I'll let Jamie pop in to help wrap us up.
Yeah, sure.
You know, it seems from what I'm reading, you all have a decently strong CSR platform and initiative. And I know you're talking about, you know, strategies, kind of reinvesting. Can you talk about that? What are you doing with corporate social responsibility at Theory Wellness?
Yeah, so we, I think one of the things we're most proud of is our own in-house social equity program. This was launched, well, we started the process about 4 years ago. And the concept was, let's work with a single entrepreneur to help them with their financing and their business plans to open up their business. So we opened it up in Massachusetts to social equity applicants that were already certified by the state as folks. There's a couple different factors that might provide that sort of endorsement, but essentially, if you were, you know, harmed by the war on drugs or grew up in an area that was disproportionately affected, you could be in the program. So we went through a long interview process, had a couple dozen folks apply, and eventually selected a company called Legal Greens, which we were able to support with financing and interest-free financing, debt financing, no equity, none of the kind of the strings attached stuff you see out there with some of these deals that are just for PR, but they're not real. But we supported them. They opened up the first Black woman-owned dispensary on the East Coast in Brockton, Mass, about a year and a half ago, and they're doing great. And we're about to open up the program again for a second round of applications.
Awesome.
So that's been cool. And we try to, you know, on the environmental side too, like I said, the outdoor farm, that was the first outdoor grow on the East Coast, fully licensed. And we're trying to kind of lead through example now. I think there's, you know, over 15 operating in Mass. So that's cool to see.
Yeah, definitely. So quick question for you. With President Biden doing his marijuana reform, that executive order that he just signed in, what are your reactions to it? What do you think it's going to do for the industry as a whole? Can you dive into that a little bit?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's not strong enough for sure. I think it's helpful to set the tone, but insofar as, you know, pardoning people that were in DC essentially and not going into this, not having too high of a reach into the actual most folks who are still in jail for cannabis is not nowhere sufficient. We're glad to see that he's starting to make some more moves based on the campaign promises. And I think, you know, of course, the scheduling thing is the most interesting part in some ways of what does that really mean, where it's going to land. But I think, you know, it'll be telling to see if after the midterms, if there's still those conversations taking place or if that was sort of more of a move just to juice things up right before the November elections. I hope it's not. And I hope it is some more positive momentum there.
Mm-hmm. Amen. And then one last question here for you, Brandon. When it comes to the potential of any more federal activity this year, you know, say, you know, Cory Booker and his statements and over the last week come true, does that significantly help Theory Wellness directly?
If we get safe banking, that's huge from financing. Allowing credit cards. I mean, our customers are dying to use credit cards at our facilities. We would love to get some better interest rates. So that would be very positive for us in the industry for sure.
Fantastic. Yeah. Awesome. Brandon Pollack, thank you so much for being here. CEO and co-founder of Theory Wellness. Honestly, you guys got a really cool brand. Met your CMO at an event about six months ago. Got to interview him there. That was awesome. Honestly, I've had a quick 6 to 8 month kind of like power hour session of learning about Theory Wellness. And it's really impressive to see what you're doing. And honestly, from a guy who loves the markets as well as cannabis, I hope you do expand soon. just my own personal opinion.
North Carolina is pretty nice, so we'll see what we can do.
We're dying for it down here too, man. Talking about people who are looking for it. But my friend, thank you so much for joining us. We'll talk to you soon.
Yeah, take it easy, guys.
Hey, have a good one.
Awesome. That wasn't really cool. We don't talk to enough really, really cool single state operators, Jamie. I know this is your first time on here, but when it comes to, you know, who we normally have on, it's people who can affect a portfolio, people who are in a portfolio, services that portfolios need to understand when they invest in these stocks. But when it comes to single state operators, this is the next wave of entrepreneurs and leaders in this industry.
Yeah. Well, I mean, what do you see with him kind of doing this and his huge success? I mean, do you see other people hopping on the bandwagon? Do you see people just kind of taking over like, hey, that's the dominant single state operator?
So
what are kind of you seeing?
I mean, when it comes to being a dominant single state operator and he is interested in this, those two things must coincide. He is a prime time M&A target. He is a prime time acquisition target for a larger company to come in and acquire him. Same with Rev Clinics in Massachusetts. Same with some of these other companies. He may not want that. He may want to grow and continue being independent. I will say single state operators' value and how deep they go in these markets does change if legalization comes. And as he mentioned and kind of correlated the two being across state lines and being able to take cannabis across state lines, how much does it matter how deep you go in a state? And that answer will be seen by, if Theory Wellness remains strong. But that being said, do we legalize without interstate commerce? Also very possible. So a lot remains to happen. Right now, Theory Wellness is phenomenal. And I just yell change agent if we're going to be honest. I scream a lot. So with that being said, y'all, we're going to call it quits today at 4:30 Eastern time. We're going to keep an eye on Tilray, keep an eye on Aurora Cannabis, CBDD, TGODF is another one that's having a good week so far with their merger. Jamie, any words for our community of investors and listeners?
Yeah, definitely. I really appreciate you guys having me on. It was absolutely amazing on my first show. I would be remiss if I didn't shout out the two new tattoos that I just got. So
hey!
Had to do it. This was really informative. This was a whole lot of fun. People check your LinkedIn inboxes and you might just get a message from me.
I love it. I love it. Or message Jamie. Change it up. Change
that
it up.
That works for me.
Message Jamie. Message me. We like friends. But you know what? Message Jamie first. That's it, y'all. We're going to call it a day. We will see you again on Tuesday. Have a phenomenal weekend. Jamie, peace, my friend.
Hey, see you later, Elliot. We'll be right back.